Welcome to Patriots Podium, a bi-weekly podcast from the New York State Conservative Party, where newsmakers, political leaders, and conservative leaders take a few minutes to discuss issues, current events, and politics with us. I'm Conservative Party State Chairman Jerry Kassar. Today, I'm excited to be joined by New York State Senator George Borrello, the chairman of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee, SRCC, as it's often known. George hails from Chautauqua County, a former county executive and local elected official. George and his wife, Kelly, are active members of the hospitality and restaurant community. George, it's great seeing you.
Jerry, it's good to be on with you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. Very welcome. George, you were first elected to the state senate in 2019 while serving as the Chautauqua County executive. What is in your takeaway on Albany after spending a number of years in local government?
Well, here's what I will tell you. After spending 10 years in local government, if state government ran half as well as county government does, New York State would be a much better, safer, and affordable place to live. You know, the problem here in Albany that I have come to find in a little over 4 years is that quite literally corruption is built into the infrastructure here, and it's frustrating at times because what I will first say is that. Every single person in New York State, 19 and a half million people, we all have representatives in the state legislature, the Senate, and the Assembly. They're all taxpayers. They're all voters. They're all people that are contributing to our state. But yet, it's only those that are in the majority, in the supermajority of Democrats, that essentially get the greatest return on that. So it's everybody's money that goes into this big pot that we call the New York State budget, but it's only certain groups that probably benefit the most, and largely for political reasons. That's just not the case how it is in county government or any local government. And that's probably the biggest, I would say, fundamental thing that needs to be fixed in Albany. We need to take the corruption out of the system.
Well, my own experience with Albany over the years was that the partisanship really had very little to do with good government. It was really, you could have a great idea and not be in the majority within the legislative body, and your biggest hope is that they steal your idea so at least it will get somewhere. And that's pretty, if that sounds cynical, it really is very cynical. Very. Well, I'm sorry, George.
It's true. In fact, just this morning, we did a press conference on a very important bill for agriculture, for our farmers, that would apply basically a mistake that was made last year on a tax credit for building housing that doesn't apply to actual workforce housing. It applies to barns and garages and everything else, but not to workforce housing. And that should be a non-political, a non-partisan issue that should easily be fixed. But because it's carried by a Republican, we're going to have to push and push hard. And that's just not the way it should be. It's not good government. It's not transparent government. And it's certainly not government that serves the most people.
Well, I think that's one of the driving forces behind people becoming so disenchanted with New York State. I mean, you look for, maybe government cannot always help you, but you certainly don't want them to ignore you. And when you have attitudes like that, that can happen. But let me get to this more basic question. In your view, what is the biggest issue these days affecting our state?
Well, without a doubt, I have to believe it's public safety. That's the grounds for everything, right? I mean, if people don't feel safe, they don't want to live here. And that public safety, it's not just about more police or even the laws that have made this a haven for criminals, the criminal coddling of the Democrats. It's really about every way the state operates. You look at the self-created migrant crisis in New York State, where we have hundreds of thousands of people that have come here because we've rolled out the welcome mat. That's a public safety issue too. New York City right now is dealing with, at last count, about 140,000 people that have come here illegally. This is certainly Joe Biden's fault for having an open border policy, but it also New York State's fault because if you look at where these people land, they're landing in sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. That has created a huge public safety crisis. It's created a public health crisis. There are migrants everywhere. These folks are not here because they're looking for a better life in America. They're here because they're told they're going to be taken care of. They're going to get free housing, free food, free health care. And now, thanks to Governor Hochul, they'll probably get government jobs. So New York State, the safety of, and security of the people of New York State has been jeopardized by a Democratic Party that is welcoming this to our state.
Let me ask you this, you know, to that point, they are coming into the into our country basically through an asylum type argument, which obviously never really gets adjudicated. But have you seen any of those YouTubes or those videos from some of these left-wing groups that attempt to explain to potential migrants on how they can subvert our laws by making claims of asylum ship when they really have no legitimate right, but they are being trained on how to get into the country? Have you seen any of that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt that. And by the way, some of those groups are NGOs. These are organizations funded by the federal government that are essentially telling these folks that are here illegally how to subvert the system and claim asylum. You know, you've heard from countless groups that have, you know, looked at this, that we know for a fact that 90%+ of those people do not have a legitimate claim of asylum. And so this is orchestrated by these groups, but it's also backed by the federal government, because when the federal government, you know, captures someone, and in most cases, those people literally just walk up to the border patrol and say, I'm turning myself in and I'm seeking asylum. They have that script. And then the worst part about it is, under the previous administration or the Trump administration, those people would be sent back across the border to Mexico to await their hearing. Instead, these people are released into the United States. We have no idea their background. We have no idea where they'll end up. And they've been told to come back to a hearing that's likely years in the future. And even then, the history is the vast majority don't show up. So this is a complete failure. It is a national security crisis. And quite frankly, I think Joe Biden is guilty of treason by allowing this.
Hmm. Well, you're not alone in that view. But let me ask you, they say there's no Democratic or Republican way to fix a pothole. But I mean, I think we know that that's actually not true. Besides the obvious that divided government is better than one party rule, could you discuss why you consider Republican solutions better than Democratic ones?
Well, because, in general, the Republican Party is aligned with conservative principles, and our conservative principles dictate that less government is better, and that the solution is to allow, number one, the free market to determine how things happen. The Democrats never met a law they didn't like, never met a regulation they didn't like, never met a tax that they didn't like, and they believe that they know better than the people that say operate a business or how to run their family, how to run their business, how to run their lives. We have bills every day in the New York State Legislature that are about the government dictating how you will run your life, how your children will be handled, how your land will be used, and essentially they know better than you about everything, including your own family. And that's the fundamental difference. The reality is there a Democrat or Republican way to fix a pothole? No, but there are problems with the fact that we're doing more than fixing potholes. We're talking about who's allowed to use a public bathroom and how much money you're going to have to spend to drive from into the city of New York because of oppressive tolls and things like congestion pricing. So the Democrat way is always, we will tell you how your life will be lived. And that is just not how the Republican Party works, and certainly not the Republicans in New York State.
I mean, we used to say that, and we actually still say in the city, a Republican will fix the pothole, or a conservative by simply filling in the pothole, where a Democrat will tear up the entire street and make it a work project to hire 25 people to repair the street when you just had a pothole. So, I mean, I do think... I do think there are some very basic inherent reasons why it's better to elect conservatives on, you know, on that local level, besides, you know, what we know is going on in D.C. are in Albany. So, you know, I appreciate you as a county exec certainly knew and understood how to operate that way. So let me ask you this. The Governor Hochul's state budget, and I've got a little bit to say on this, was the most expensive in history, yet major issues such as public safety, fiscal sanity, the immigration crisis, overreaching environmental policies such as requiring school buses to be electric and gas stoves banned, parental rights, public health quarantine regulations, congestion pricing, and the protection of the Second Amendment went unaddressed. Then, of course, the Assembly and State Senate majorities, the Democrats, came back with even more expensive budgets that raised taxes too. I mean, first, has Albany gone insane? And let me ask you, the GOP, you're offering alternatives, I believe.
Yes.
And will the Senate GOP likely vote no on what we are now seeing, what we're seeing right now?
Well, you know, look, you've got to look at it this way. You know, these budgets are massive. It's tens of thousands of pages. And we're asked to address this in a relatively short period of time. But what makes it the worst, and probably the reason why we are going to, you know, likely vote no, is because there's a lot of bad policy hidden in this budget also. Like, as you said, I was a county executive. We put together a budget. The budget is based on projecting revenue and approving and projecting expenses. That's what a budget is supposed to be. But what have we dealt with in the past in budgets? We've dealt with controversial issues like bail reform, you know, all these other horrible so-called criminal justice reforms that were essentially taken up as part of the budget to provide cover, quite frankly, for state legislators where they know this particular policy issue isn't going to be popular in their district. So those are the things that are hidden in these budgets. I actually am part of a bipartisan group of people have a bill to take policy out of the budget process. It's the reason why our budgets are late. And, you know, the rank and file members on both sides of the aisle agree that this thing has a lot of co-sponsors, that we should not be discussing policies issues in the budget. It also empowers the governor in too many ways as well. So, you know, we're going to vote no, most likely. There's 10 parts to the budget. Is there some parts that potentially some Republicans could support for some reason? Potentially. But the overarching problem is you are taking essentially thousands and thousands of expenditures and policies, and you're condensing it down to essentially 10 votes.
I think a lot of people also don't realize that the budget is a mechanism for getting around home rule. And home rule is local government, and it requires you basically to have the approval of a local government before you could, you know, take certain actions. But when they put it in the state budget, they are actually going to make an argument that has some sort of statewide effect, which, to be blunt about it, these home rule councils are really functionaries of these majorities, and they can manipulate things in such a way that you are overwhelming a local government through, you know, heavy-handed Albany tactics. I mean, Albany is a place where cynicism for the general public is probably the right attitude to have in general. So let me ask you this then. You're in a unique position to challenge the above that we've talked about because you chair the Senate Republican Campaign Committee.
Yes.
Right now, the Senate GOP is one seat short of breaking the two-thirds majorities, they call it a supermajority, that are held by the liberals in the Senate. And the Assembly GOP, I think they're three seats short of doing the same. Why is it important, George, that we break these supermajorities?
It's very important because right now the Democrats have the ability to override any veto of the governors. Now they rarely do, but in behind closed door negotiations, they wield that as part of their negotiation. That if they really don't like what the governor's done, they can override the veto. So by breaking the supermajority, you know, a supermajority is required in order to override a veto. And that means that if we have, and you know, just more than one Republican in either house, and in the case of the Senate, it's only one seat, as you mentioned, that means they no longer have that supermajority on one side of the aisle to override the governor. Now, that certainly requires a governor with a spine that's willing to actually say, look at, you know, I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to override this veto without Republican votes. Therefore, this is what I want. Kathy Hochul has not shown much of a spine, quite honestly. She's let the Democrat majorities, you know, steamroll her on a number of things. Probably the most egregious one was she signed a record pay increase for state legislators without getting anything for it. And when we were literally days away from the end of the year back in 2022. However, she has shown a little bit of spine in vetoing a bill that would have really rigged the public campaign finance system in favor of incumbent Democrats, which was passed through the Senate and the Assembly last session. So taking away the supermajority means that Republicans will have to be involved in any kind of a veto override, which would hopefully give us a seat at the table, at least with the governor. But it also means that they're not going to be able to ramrod through all these harmful bills without at least the threat of a governor that could actually veto them, and they have no way to override that. So it's very, very important. The reality is we need to restore balance in government, and that is only going to happen when we restore Republicans in the majority in the state Senate, and that's certainly the mission that I'm on. But it's also good for every New Yorker. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, conservative, not affiliated voter, whatever it is, you want a government that doesn't have one party rule, because we're seeing what has happened. I mean, New York State leads the nation in every bad statistic. Let's face it, worst place to do business, most out migration, you name it. New York State is the worst. And that has happened largely since one party rule took over in 2019.
So as I mentioned, you are the chairman of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee, and petitioning is in for public offices in full swing right now. How has candidate recruitment gone?
Candidate recruitment has been excellent. First and foremost, we have currently 21 members of the New York State Senate that are Republicans. All 21 are coming back. No retirements. Nobody's leaving. We also have recruited 24 candidates across New York State, and I would say a record number in the five boroughs of New York City, and we have 45 candidates, which would literally more than flip the Senate from a supermajority Democrats to supermajority Republicans. That's a heavy lift, I know. But we need to flip 11 seats just to take back the majority, which would be key to stopping this runaway train of one-party rule here in New York State. We're very focused on that because the fate of our state literally depends on it.
So let me ask you, it is a presidential election year, a national election year, because Congress is up too, obviously. We have a U.S. Senate seat up in New York. How are these national elections going to play into our local elections?
Well, as you are, I'm sure, well aware, the most expensive races are going to be, the presidential race followed by, the House and Senate races. So a lot of money is going to be, infused into those races. And that affects all of our candidates down ballot from the president and the United States Senate and House of Representatives. That means that, we are going to have to, in some ways, we're going to be aligned very closely with our candidates up the ballot, and every district. And it's to the people of New York State that it matters not as much who the president of the United States is in your quality of life here in New York State. It really matters who's running your state government, and it particularly matters who your state legislator is and what goals they're looking for. If you're concerned about, the public safety, the crime, the migrants that are overrunning our state, the Democrats don't need every single bit of that. The governor, for example, could undo the state's sanctuary policy with a stroke of her pen, because it was done by executive order by disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo. But she's yet to do that. So we really need Republicans that are going to be standing up. We stand up every day We are a feisty group that's fighting hard and getting the message out there, but we just need more of us. And that is, no matter, like I said, no matter where you stand from a political affiliation standpoint, should be the thing that you want, is to restore some balance to government. And we have more than enough candidates to return the Republicans to power in the state Senate, and the candidates above us, quite frankly, have less impact on your lives than who your state senator and state assemblyman is.
True, I very much agree with that. I thank you, George, for your time and commitment to the conservative movement and bringing about change in Albany. Do you have any final words for our audience?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank you, Jerry, and the Conservative Party for still being great champions despite everything that's happened in New York State. You know, if you look at a map of the state of New York, the red areas far outweigh the blue areas geographically. New York State is really a Republican state in so many ways, a conservative state in so many ways. But the loudest, most radical voices of the Democratic Party control that party. And they are the ones that have led this charge to destroy our state, to turn it into some kind of socialist dystopia. But there is hope. People are realizing this, even folks that were normally sympathetic to the Democratic Party. I know lifelong Democrats, you know, working class folks that became Democrats, the Kennedy Democrats, if you will, that are fed up. They're fed up with the radical agenda. And therein lies our opportunity. But conservative values are always that guiding light, that North Star for us. And it is the right way, not just to run government, but to run our own lives. So I'm proud to stand for conservative values, and it will be the way out of this mess, in my opinion.
Well, we've been joined by State Senator George Borrello, and once again, I'd like to thank for being here. And he's the chairman of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee. The Conservative Party shares the same goals as the GOP Senate in working to overcome the radical state Senate Democrats who may hold the majority, but I do not think in many cases hold the hearts of the average New York voter. To that point, George, I know my county committees and the state party will be working alongside you this entire period. You know, we obviously have cross-endorsed pretty much everybody that you guys are pushing, and we look forward, to a lot of wins this November. I mean, I think the national elections are going to turn out a larger vote, which in some parts of the state, will actually be very beneficial to us. In some parts, they're going to, the argument will be they won't be. But I do think that since many of these New York State issues, such as the migrant issue, kind of have a local nexus and a national nexus, that people are going to be thinking pretty much the same way as they vote for president, Congress, state senator, or state assembly. So once again, I'd like to thank Andrew Davis and Katie Mahone, who produce this podcast. This is Patriots Podium. I'm State Chairman Jerry Kassar.